see you all out. Summer's almost done. Can you believe that? We had a great week last week, just so you know. A number of us pastors were gone to Kelowna, suffering for Jesus out there at on the beach at Green Bay. Anybody been to Green Bay? Green Bay Bible Camp? I'm not talking Green Bay down in the States, the football team. It's a gorgeous place, and we just had a wonderful time just worshiping together, and we had some great speakers that came out, and including our own Pastor Lucas, who spoke there, so it was a wonderful time. But you know, our theme for the week was refresh. And now I'm wondering, now this may take you back, some of you, but does any of you remember from way back when they used to have an advertisement on TV for Five Alive? Does anybody remember that? Come on, somebody more than me, right? Right? And it would have been much better if I could have found a can of Five Alive, because you kind of open up the can. But the advertisement was, okay, Five Alive, refresh me. Come on. You don't remember that? Can you imagine if we could patent a drink or something like that wouldn't just refresh you like as far as your thirst, but would refresh you like in your spirit, or would refresh you in that you're having a rough week and you just crack the can and you take a sip? You want some of this, don't you? Does anybody want? You can fight for it later on. I'm going to put it right up here. And you can look at it and salivate all over it. But wouldn't it be great if we had something that would refresh us? Well, I want to talk to you today about a guy who seriously needed some refreshment. He was a worship leader, actually, just like Tracy here today. He was a worship leader, but he was taken from his homeland into another place. And he was in exile. He was away from his home. And he is thinking back to the days when he was in Jerusalem. He was thinking back to how he used to lead a procession of worshipers into the presence of God. And he was thinking back on all of this. And it wasn't David. It was another man that wrote this psalm. And you have your piece of paper, so you know where I'm going, Psalm chapter 42. And as he's thinking back, he's going, God, I just so need some refreshment. I so need you to come upon my life and renew me once again. He was going through a lot of opposition at that time. You ever been there? You ever been at that place that you wish you could have a can, you can open up, or something that would just give you refreshment and give you that boost that you need? I've been there. Kids, I've got a wave up there. Yeah, so children, if you're still in here, children, you can go. You can go. You don't have to listen to me, right? Bless you, kids. Have fun. We'll see you. Thanks for putting up with me for the last 7 minutes. Or whatever. Bye-bye. Okay, back to refreshment. What, that was refreshing, seeing all the kids get up and leave. Let me talk to you about refreshment. We want to jump to Psalm chapter 42. Psalm chapter 42, and we're going to read the entire psalm. And I've brought a ringer in this morning to read for me. So I'm going to ask my ringer to come up here, the most beautiful person in the church, I just have to say, and she's gonna read this. Why don't we stand for the reading of God's word? Psalm chapter 42, verses 1 to 11.
As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God.
So, Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you that it's so relevant to us here today. And God, as we take time to unpackage what we've heard read here today, I pray in Jesus' name that you would let it fall on fertile soil, that we would take what we hear, we would apply it to our lives, and we would be refreshed in you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Doesn't she read so much better than me? Come on. We need her here up here every single Sunday morning. So refreshing, what does it mean to be refreshed, or how can we be refreshed when we feel that God is very, very far? Well, there's a few things we want to look at here today. We want to look at the importance of refocusing, the importance of remembering, and then rejoicing. Refocusing, we need to start by drinking right. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about drinking like 40 gallons of water a day or whatever we're supposed to drink a day. I'm talking about filling our lives with the right things. Here in verse 1, it says, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. He's writing this as he is in the middle of a drought. So he sees the author, he sees a deer. Can you imagine a deer just struggling to get some water, a deer that's thirsty, that wants so desperately to once again fill its belly with that refreshment, that water? You know, I'm wondering if this deer that was so thirsty, if it, instead of going to a refreshing stream, would go to a place like this. If you want to fire that picture up there. Next slide. There you go. Thank you. This is actually water. This is what you're seeing there is when we went down to Nicaragua, we went to a place called Blue Fields. Now, can you imagine drinking from that? Can you imagine a deer drinking from this disgusting water filled with garbage? It probably could drink, but it wouldn't be very, very healthy for it, correct? Now, why am I showing you that? Because, see, here's the thing, folks. We all know we got to drink, or we got to fill our lives with what is right. And we can fill our lives with other stuff. And it may, in some ways, it may even fulfill. You know this. You know that there are things that we find ourselves being drawn to that may fulfill, but ultimately they can be toxic. And ultimately they will destroy our spiritual life. We need to be drinking right, folks. We need to be drinking and getting from the presence of God. The psalmist was saying, as the deer pants for water, my soul pants for what? What did he say? It pants for you, Lord, my living God. Oh, that we would have that desire, that thirst, that longing for the presence of God. Let me ask you, do you hunger and thirst right? Do you fill your life with things that satisfy, or are we indulging in garbage that may fill our stomach or fill our lives or fill our minds, but not with the right things? We need to drink right. Secondly, we need to listen right. He says in verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? Have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, you will never do that? You'll never be able to accomplish that. Ever been there? Yeah? A few of you. You'll never be. Here, an example for me. When I was a teenager, my dad put me to work. He had a piece of property in Chilliwack, in the city there. And he put me to work with a scythe. Does anybody know what a scythe is? Remember those things, the long blade, and you you know, Grim Reaper type of thing. He put me to work with a scythe and a field of blackberries. Yahoo! Okay? So in the morning, I'm standing there with my scythe and I'm looking at this field of blackberries. I'm thinking, dear Jesus, how am I going to do this? And at that point in time, a mailman walked up to me and he said this to me. He looked at me, he looked at my scythe, he looked at the blackberries, and he said, you'll never be able to accomplish that. And I thought, I will show you. So all day long, I'm scything, I'm knocking at these blackberries. That same mailman at the end of the day came by, and it was clear. Hallelujah. And he goes, he said, I can't believe you did that. You know, now that I think of it, I bet you that mailman was hired by my dad. I bet you, I'm going to ask him the next. The point is, if we come to a place where somebody says to us, you'll never be able to accomplish that, how do we respond? See, this is where the psalmist was at. He was at a place where he's in this land far away from home. And can you see the people around him looking at him going, oh, yeah? So you serve this God who supposedly made the earth in 6 days, huh? You serve this God that supposedly led his people out of Egypt, huh? Uh-huh. So where's your God now there, buddy? Mr. God boy. Where is he now? Look at where you are. You're serving me. Ha ha. Not this God. Can you imagine him standing in that? Can you imagine what he may have been thinking or saying at that time? Maybe he said something like, he'll come through for me. I know he'll come through. I may not look so good right now, but I know God's going to come through. But in deep in his mind, he's thinking, yeah, God, where are you? Where are you? And it says here, my tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is my God? He goes home and he's weeping before God. God, where are you? Do you not see my circumstance? Do you not see my situation? And then he says something very interesting. Verse 9, it says, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Do you hear it? Do you hear his pain? Do you hear that agony he's going through? What do you do when you're in a place of criticism? What do you do when people are condemning you or you feel in despair? What are you listening to? See, because when we are listening to those voices that we can't do it, that we're listening to those voices that say, give up, that's not the voice of God, is it? It's not the voice of God. You know what I love? I love that God knows where we are at. He knows our situation. And in the midst of all of this, he also knows that we are human, and the Bible is a very human book. I love the fact that when you look at our people in the Bible, they were very, very real. And this guy was real. He's going through troubles and tribulation. And he didn't sit back and say, well, praise God, everything is peachy keen. Hallelujah. This is not going to bother me. It's going to be like water off a buck's back. Whoosh, it's gone. No, he's going, God, I need you. God, you are my rock. Why have you forgotten me? Did you get that? God, you are my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. In the midst of the pain, faith is starting to rise up. Faith is starting to build up. God, I see the situation, but you're my fortress. I see that, I hear the people condemning me, but God, you're my deliverer. I know that I may be far from where I'm at, but God, you are my source. You are my hope. You are my joy. Listen, Casting Crowns came out with a great, great song, and you know this song. The voice of truth says this, but the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me. Have you heard them? Have you heard those things mocking you, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed? The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, never win. But the voice of truth, come on, but the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose and listen and believe the voice of truth. What are you listening to? What are you believing? What are you choosing to allow to come into your mind and dwell there? My prayer, it's the voice of truth, folks. Because that's where refreshment comes, when we're listening right, when we're drinking right, when we're 30, we're thinking right. Verse 5 says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will praise him, my Savior and my God. You ever been in a place where your mind starts to wander? Now, some of you are there right now. Focus, focus. You ever been in a place where your mind starts to wander? Especially when somebody's not like the pastor, but just when somebody's talk, or you're being ridiculed or rebuked for something. Okay? And somebody is ripping a strip off of you. And you're sitting there and you're looking at them and you're smiling because that's what you're supposed to do. But deep down inside, your mind is thinking, wonder what would happen if right now little red ants would come out of the ground and would crawl up their legs and crawl down their back and start biting them and start eating at them and taking little pieces off of them. And you go, blah, blah, blah. Now, whoa, wait a minute. I can't go. Not that I've ever thought that, okay? Just saying. But have you ever been in a place where you... Your attention is being drawn aside. See, this is where the psalmist is. He says, look, whoa, why so downcast, my soul? Why are you letting yourself go there? Why so disturbed? I love what the way the message puts it. It says, why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix your eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He is my God. That's the right thing to do, folks, is to think right. Is to think right, not allowing your mind to go where it shouldn't. We need to refocus if we want to be refreshed. Secondly, we need to remember if we want to be refreshed. We need his strength. Verse 6 says, why so downcast, O my soul? Therefore, I will remember you. Remember you earnestly. It means to earnestly be mindful. There's nothing more important, folks, than having the thoughts of God in our lives. And you know, it's funny because when the one place where I am so very full of the thoughts of God, mindful of God, is when I'm out there in nature. You know what I'm talking about? Outside, seeing the beauty and the wonder and the power of God. Now, all of you have seen a picture of a tornado. So you want to fire that up there. You've all seen that, right? Some of you have watched movies about tornadoes. Incredible, incredible power in a tornado. August 24th, just a couple of weeks ago, there was a tornado that hit down in Indiana. And Pastor Lucas, if you're in the house, I'm sorry to say this. Next picture, it actually brought down a Starbucks. I know there was a lot of mourning in that town at that time. But the power of a tornado is absolutely incredible. So incredible, as a matter of fact, next slide, that a tornado hit this one town so hard that it took a record, think about it, and implanted it into a tree. without breaking the record. Now that's a lot of power. The trees below you show it shows you some other things, or the picture below shows you some other things implanted into that tree. It has incredible power. When I look around and see nature, I think of God. And this is where the psalmist was at. Verse 7, it says this: deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfall. See, he is someplace, he's hearing a roar of water of some sort. And the world deep calling to deep, it's almost like you hear this water hits the bottom here and it echoes back, and this water hits, and it's almost like they're competing back and forth with this incredible roar. You've heard those before, haven't you? And he sits back and he sees this incredible power of God. Unfortunately for the psalmist, it's a picture of his sorrow and pain. It says, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. But folks, if we can stop and look at the magnificent power of God around us and understand that God, in all his strength, cares for you and I. I love what it says in Job chapter 37, verse 5. God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. Do you remember? Do you remember his greatness? Do you remember his strength? Do you see his power? Not just manifested in the great waterfalls or the winds or the tornadoes, but in you and my life. We need to remember the strength of our God, but we also need to remember that he is not just strong and out there, but he cares for us. Verse 8 says, by day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Something absolutely cool happens here in verse 8. See, up to this point in time, in this psalm, the psalmist is using a word for God, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, okay? But the word is Elohim, Elohim. The word means a supreme God, the creator, the judge of all things, an incredibly great, powerful God. But right here in Psalm chapter 42, verse 8, he changes that from Elohim, God, to the word Lord or Jehovah, Jehovah or Yahweh. And he uses this word for God. Do you know what the word Jehovah or Yahweh means? It means a God that is a covenant-keeping God, a God who cares deeply for his people, a God who is faithful and true. All of a sudden, the psalmist is sitting there and going, God, you're great, you're powerful, you're a judge, you can overpower anything. But then he brings it back and says, but you're a loving God, a caring God, a God that understands where I am at. By day the Lord, Jehovah, the faithful carrier one, directs his love. You know what the King James says here? It says, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. When we were at pastor's camp, we had a speaker by the name of Dr. Lim. Incredibly, incredibly amazing man. Very, very knowledgeable in the Word of God. And he says there is a word in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that is used 250 times. And it's a word that is probably one of the most richest words that is in the Old Testament. And when scholars looked at this word in the Hebrew, they're going, how do we translate that one word? It was so incredibly difficult for them to translate it in just to one simple word, so they translated it into two words. That word in the Hebrew is the word hesed, hesed, H-E-S-E-D. And it was translated loving kindness. Loving kindness. See, it's not just love, but it's love in action. Love that was displayed by our Savior when he bent down and lovingly wash the grimy, dirty feet of his disciples. Love in action. Love that was shown by our Savior, a love that is absolutely undeserved, a royal love, an incredibly amazing love that was displayed when he put himself on the tree and allowed himself to be crucified for you and I, knowing the Word of God says that we were his enemies. While we were his enemies, Christ, what? Died for you and me. That is loving kindness, something we cannot truly understand, but something that God has shown us. And this is what the psalmist is saying, and the Word has said. You have shown me that love that I can't even begin to fathom. You have shown me how deeply you care for me. Can I encourage you something, folks? That's for you. That's for you. He wants to show that to you in the situation and the circumstances that you find yourself in. He wants to show you that steadfast, loving kindness, that covenantal loyalty, that love he wants to show to you and to me. Is it something that we are grasping in our lives? He says, you show me your loving kindness. And he says, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Have you ever noticed that at night everything seems so different? Right? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, I know you're all grown-uppers, okay? You're all big people, okay? There may be a few little people here. But when you're a little person and you turned off your light at night, okay, come on, and the light's off, and all of a sudden that coat hanging on that coat hanger is Jason from Friday the 13th. You know what I'm talking about? And you look and you're sure that growl from underneath that bed is gotta be some sort of evil creature. And you're sitting there going, ah! How many of you, let's be honest, come on, it's time for confession. Confession is good for the soul. How many of you were terrified at night and would run into mom and dad's room? The rest of you are lying, I'm sure of it. Because I remember doing it. I don't know what it was, but I was terrified. And I would run into mom and dad's room. And if you had a wonderful mom, sometimes what she would do for you at night is she would sing. You remember that? Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Some of your heads are nodding. I see it. And she would sing to you, right? Anybody have their mom sing to them? Really? That's it? Oh, a couple of you. I think, you know, we need to have chats. Maybe I've got to teach you to do this to your kids or grandkids, because you gotta pass this stuff on to them. You know what is so incredibly interesting, folks, is this verse. It says, at night, are you hearing this? His song is with me. Can I take you to another verse? Can I take you to Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says this, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Do you get that? For those that had your mom sing to you during those times, do you remember how it felt? Maybe you did. Maybe you're too young. But that comfort, God sings over us. Now, let that sink in for just a minute. God sings over us. He calls us into his presence. He wraps his arms around us, and he loves on us in song. Now, if that's not beautiful, I don't know what is. That's the God that we serve. That's the care and the love, the hesed of our God, the loving kindness of our God. Do you hear his song? Do you sense His love and His compassion during those difficult times? Are you letting go and saying, Daddy, Daddy, I need to hear from you? And at that time, do you feel His arms wrap around you? See, that's the God I serve. That's the God you serve. And that's the God that wants to refresh us on a daily basis. He loves us with that kind of love. Remember His strength. Remember His care. And then rejoice in Him. Verse 11 says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will praise Him, my Savior and my God. Put your hope in God. I've said it many times before. Christian hope isn't just wishful thinking. It's not saying, I hope I win the lotto, which will be very hard for me to do because I don't buy a ticket. But if you do win the lotto, don't forget to tithe on it. Just saying, okay? It's not wishful thinking. Hope in God is an assurance. It's a confident expectation that God will come through for us. It's knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that God will come through for us. You know, I remember as a teenager, and later on, even going to Bible school, even to this day, I remember thinking, God, you have never let me down. That's a pretty good odds, right? I couldn't put my finger on a place where God let me down in my life. And I thought, man, God, if you've never let me down during those times, when I went to Bible school, I was thinking, well, God, you've been faithful then. I know you're going to be faithful now, so I'm just going to trust you. Now, the challenges have gotten a little bit more difficult through the years. All of us know that for yourself as well. But God doesn't let us down. He doesn't let us down. He won't let us down. You can trust Him. You can sit there and go, God, I don't get it. That doesn't matter. He's not going to let you down. He's going to come through for you. But you have to put your hope and trust in God. God is faithful, and we should celebrate that. We should celebrate that. That God is faithful. You can get fun and you can get excited and go, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You're allowed to do that in this church. Okay, I give you permission, okay? That God is a faithful God. And you know what? I think we get it wrong. I think we really get it wrong. Because I think sometimes what we do is we cheer when the goal is scored. Yeah! Woo! The Canucks actually scored. First time in 15 years or whatever it is. But we cheer after the goal is scored. God wants us to cheer even in those difficult times. God, you're faithful, and I praise you. I celebrate you. See, this psalm was written during a very, very difficult time for the psalmist. Can you cheer even though you don't even see the play, let alone see a Gore scored? Can you cheer even when the challenges seem so overwhelming? Because God is a faithful God, folks. He is a faithful God, and He will come through. Put your hope in God, and then lastly, celebrate God. Celebrate Him. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Okay, sorry. We should be celebrating God a little bit more. Not just here, not just when Tracy leads us, okay? But when in every part of her life, Father, I want to celebrate you. I want to celebrate you, for I will praise Him, the psalmist says, my Savior and my God. I'm gonna let you in on a little secret if you promise not to tell. Okay, everybody promises? I don't see any hands. Last Sunday after church, I was locking up and going through the rooms, had everything pretty much locked up. I went down the hallway, and there's bread. By the way, there's bread down there. Grab bread, please. There's lots of bread. Take bread. Take it home. And I was checking out in the bread, and from the ladies' washroom, I heard some singing. And it was songs of praise unto the Lord. The song was, your praise will always be on my lips. Always be on my lips. And I sat there and I thought, okay, this is kind of weird. A guy standing in front of a ladies' washroom. I didn't want to look like some sort of pervert, so I moved away and I pretended to be looking through the bread. And I heard this voice. Okay, I know it's still weird, but I heard this voice singing over and over and over again. Guys, I don't know, or folks, I don't know if there's ever been a point in your life where you just felt like just the presence of God. And I was fighting tears as I was listening to this young voice, this little girl, sing, just worshiping God in the bathroom of all places. I won't go there, but worshiping God over and over and over again. And she came out, and she was a little bit shocked to see me standing out there playing with bread and listening. But I said to her, you know, it's absolutely gorgeous. Your voice is incredible, and wow, don't ever stop singing. But then I thought about something. I thought about how that made me feel. And I thought, what does that do for God? A little girl, I don't know how old she was, just a young little girl, singing in the presence of God. How does it make God's heart feel? Were there tears in Jesus' eyes as he was listening to that? Was he standing back and going, just be quiet for now, for a minute. Angels, quiet. Shh. Listen. Look. The psalmist says here, I will praise you. I will praise him, my Savior and my God. We spend $500 million, folks, every year in prescriptions for coping. $500 million a year on buying pills to cope with a headache, cope with depression, cope with whatever challenges that we may face. You know, I don't think God wants us to cope. I think, honestly, God wants us to excel. I think God wants us to be refreshed and renewed in his presence. And I think it starts when each one of us, in the midst of our challenges, say, your praise will always be on my lips, always be on my lips. And we begin to worship him. I don't know where you're at today. Maybe it's been a great week. Maybe it's been a great summer. And you're refreshed, ready to hit the fall running. Maybe it hasn't been so great for you. Maybe there are those areas in your life, those challenges, maybe those down times, and you're sitting there and going, God, why? Why haven't you come through in this? Can I just say to you, the answer to life's problems is not a program. It's not a prescription. It's not even having possessions, but the answer lies in a person, and that is Jesus. I'm going to call Tracy and the team back up here at this time. And I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for just a minute here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you see every heart, every individual, every situation that we go through and that we are going through. And I thank you for those that are strong and are refreshed and encouraged and moving forward in power and the strength of your Spirit. Thank you for that. Continue to sustain them. Continue to empower them. But Lord, I know that there are those here that may not have that strength right now, that may be going through some deep challenges and disappointments or questions. Father, we come to this place to worship you, but we also come to this place, which is our spiritual hospital, where we can be encouraged and prayed for by one another. So Lord, I pray that right now, if there are those that are going through deep challenges or questions or concerns or whatever it may be, that your Spirit would come upon them, and that you would bring about a new joy, a new fullness, a new hope, a new refreshment. I'm going to